translation and his purport also by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. Bali Maharaj replied, "All those present on this battlefield are certainly under the influence of eternal time, and according to their prescribed activities, they are destined to receive fame, victory, defeat, and death one after another." Purport. If one is victorious on the battlefield, he becomes famous. And if one is not victorious, but is defeated, he may die. Both victory and defeat are possible, whether on such a battlefield as this, or on the battlefield of the struggle for existence. Everything takes place according to the laws of nature. Prakritih kriyamanani gunahi karmani sarvashah. Since everyone, without exception, is subject to the modes of material nature, whether one is victorious or defeated, he is not independent, but is under the control of material nature. Bali Maharaj, therefore, was very sensible. He knew that the fighting was arranged by eternal time, and that under time's influence, one must accept the results of one's own activities. Therefore, even though Indra threatened that he would now kill Bali Maharaj by releasing the thunderbolt, Bali Maharaj was not at all afraid. This is the spirit of a Kshatriya. Yuddhe chapya palayanam, Bhagavad Gita, chapter 18, text 43. A Kshatriya must be tolerant in all circumstances, especially on the battlefield. Thus, Bali Maharaj asserted that he was not at all afraid of death, although he was threatened by such a great personality as the King of Heaven. Om Jnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamahyam Tadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Nitinamine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripasindubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. So for the last several chapters in this canto, we have been reading narrations leading up to, involving and following the famous pastime of the churning of the milk ocean, which the demigods and demons involve themselves in with the same objective, which is to obtain the nectar that would come from the churning of the ocean. Now, the demigods were successful because they were devotees of the Lord. They took shelter of the Lord, and the Lord, by His own arrangements, In short, that it was the demigods who actually partook of the nectar and not the demons. When the demons realized that they had been deceived by the Lord in this way through the incarnation of Mohini, they became enraged. They charged in battle towards the demigods. A ferocious battle ensued. Initially, the demigods were victorious, but in desperation, the demons employed various types of illusory tricks, and the demigods became a little bewildered. In their bewilderment, they took shelter of the Supreme Lord, and this is the difference between the devotees and the demigods and the non-devotees. Devotees may sometimes get bewildered, but they know the way out. They take shelter of the Lord and His devotees, and thus find a solution to all their problems, just as Arjuna did at the beginning of the Bhagavad Gita. So having taken shelter of the Lord, who is the protector of His devotees, the Lord was obliged to protect them. And then the demigods came back with renewed energy and power. And now in these two verses we see that Indra with renewed energy is now facing Bali Maharaj and is threatening to release his formidable thunderbolt weapon. And Bali Maharaj understands that he is standing on the verge of defeat, because Indra is now seeming insurmountable in battle. He seems to be very, very powerful now. And Bali Maharaj, even though is facing the prospect of defeat and is standing on the battlefield, is very philosophical. And he replies, when Indra says that now I'm going to defeat you, Bali Maharaj says, well, under the influence of time, somebody may be defeated, somebody may emerge victorious. We all are destined to receive the results of our own activities under the superintendence of time. So whether it's Kirti means the glory or fame, Jayaha, which means victory, Ajayaha means defeat, and Mrityuho means death. So these are received one after the other according to one's own karma. So what then is a cause for any despondency? There is no reason. So Prabhupada mentions here that this is an important factor that we have to keep in mind, that defeat and victory ultimately come in the course of one's struggle for existence. And it all happens according to the laws of nature. The laws of nature operate very stringently in this material world, and no one is spared. So sometimes one may be victorious and sometimes one may be defeated. But whether it's victory or defeat, it's all happening under the laws of nature. In the beginning of the sixth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, we see Parikshit Maharaj asking Shukadev Goswami an important question. He says, my dear sage, it appears to me that the Lord is partial to the demigods and He acts against the interests of the demons. Whereas the Lord, being the Lord of everyone, should actually be impartial. Why does He distinguish between the demons and the demigods? They are both part and parcel of Him. So therefore He should behave equally without discrimination. Why does He always favor the demigods? Because Shukadev Goswami has previously described some incidents where the Lord appeared to be partial towards the demigods. So Shukadev Goswami goes on to explain that the Lord can never be partial. Partiality, as we understand in this world, happens because one is friendly towards someone and inimical towards someone. And these dualities exist only under the modes of material nature, only in Prakriti, not on the transcendental platform. So even ordinary people or humans who are on this transcendental platform do not make a distinction between friends and enemies. This is an important point. We see when Prahlad's teachers admonish him very severely and say that, how is it that our enemies have come here and brainwashed you and brought you to this cult? You're part of this cult of Krishna consciousness. So how is it that our enemies have done this? Who are these enemies? And then Prahlad proclaims that I offer my obeisances unto that Supreme Lord under the influence of whose illusory potency people think in terms of friends and enemies. That this is my friend and this is my enemy. And therefore I should love my friend and hate my enemy. And then there is the question of victory and defeat. Because we want to assist our friends and we want to decimate our enemies. So Prahlad makes a very, very important point here. That this distinction is under the jurisdiction of the modes of material nature. So Shukadev Goswami says that the Lord, being always transcendentally situated, can never be partial towards somebody. He's always impartial. The Lord is everyone's friend. He loves everybody. But under the influence of the modes of material nature, sometimes the demons are victorious, sometimes the demigods are victorious. And for that, you can't blame the Lord. He explains the workings of the three modes of material nature. And we hear that in the Bhagavad Gita as well. The three modes, the mode of goodness, passion and ignorance, are forever competing with each other. Sometimes the mode of goodness emerges victorious, sometimes the mode of passion, and sometimes the mode of ignorance. When the mode of goodness is predominant, then the demigods or the devotees, they emerge victorious. When the mode of passion is predominant, then it is the demons who emerge victorious. And when the mode of ignorance is predominant, then the rakshasas, they emerge victorious. So either way, the Lord cannot be blamed. And all these happen under the superintendence or under the jurisdiction of time. We know from basic Bhagavad Gita philosophy that of the five factors that are discussed, or topics that are discussed in the Bhagavad Gita, kala and karma, time and activity, are two of the topics. So in this way, Shukadev Goswami explains that one cannot blame the Lord for one's defeat. And of course, for victory one should give credit to him. But nevertheless, that's only the mentality of the devotee. But even the atheist will sometimes be victorious. And that also happens because of the potency of the Supreme Lord. But nevertheless, it's happening according to the laws of material nature. At the end of it, ultimately we have to see it's all part of the duality of material existence. It's part of the illusory existence of this world. It's interesting as to what victory and defeat really is. Are the victories of this world really victories? Let's say our favorite football team wins as a victory. Is it really a victory? Or if our favorite team is defeated, is that really a defeat? On the material platform, everything is a defeat. And on the Krishna conscious platform, everything is victory. One time I remember, one young devotee came and he was very depressed and he was almost in tears. He was a very young devotee, and He had been demolished by somebody when he was out in the preaching field. He had tried to explain some philosophy, and this man was an atheist, and he was very strong. He was a very intelligent man. And he demolished this devotee, made mincemeat out of him. So this man, this boy came back thoroughly discouraged and in tears, saying, "My God, what, you know." So he was saying, he was so demoralized. And then I said, "You know, who was victorious? You know that? You were victorious. Because this man is ultimately, whoever he was too intelligent for you. So he demolished you in argument, in debate. And perhaps you weren't well equipped with all the arguments that were needed to counteract his arguments. But nevertheless, actually, who is victorious? Is he victorious or you? Temporarily, he may think that he defeated you, but that's under the influence of the three modes. But actually, you are victorious because you endured this whole experience. You went through it. You actually went forward to fight for Krishna's cause. You went to speak about Krishna to somebody. And this is a learning experience. So ultimately, because you endeavored to do this, Krishna will empower you and he will bless you with the ultimate victory, the supreme victory, which is to become a pure devotee and to transcend the modes of material nature and go back to the spiritual world. And this man who defeated you in argument today will be born again and again, probably go into demoniac species, or fall into the lower species of life. So what value is his so-called victory over you? Actually, he is defeated. And you were victorious because you struggled for Krishna's cause. Krishna is not looking at what appears to be victories. Had you demolished his arguments, and if you had become proud, thinking, "I am so intelligent, I am such a powerful devotee that look how I decimated him," then you would have been defeated. That would have been your defeat. So when pride comes, we are already defeated. And we are humble and enthusiastic in Krishna's service. Whether we actually face apparent defeat, we are actually victorious. We also see another episode in connection with Indra, and that is in relation to Vritrasura. Now, Vritrasura in his previous life was King Chitraketu, who was a great devotee of the Lord. Somehow or the other, he was cursed by Mother Parvati to become a demon or get a demoniac birth, which he happily accepted, understanding that this was the Lord's will. And Lord Shiva, of course, understanding the whole thing, smiled ruefully, understanding this was the Lord's arrangement. And Mother Parvati was astonished that King Chitraketu could accept this curse with so much equanimity without being disturbed at all. And seeing her bewilderment, Lord Shiva said, "Narayana paraha sarve na kutashyana bibhyati swarga parvarga narkeshu api tulyartha darshinaha." He said, "You know, those who are devotees of Lord Narayan or Lord Krishna, they are never afraid of any circumstances. Whether it is in hell, whether in heaven, whether on earth, whether in the liberated state of life, they are all the same. They consider all these situations to be equal. Apituliyartha darshinaha." So one who is a devotee of the Lord is never afraid to be in any circumstance. So in any case, King Chitraketu appeared in his next life as Vritra, the demon called Vritra. So Vritrasura. And he was very powerful. So powerful that no one could come in front of him in battle. Eventually, when the demigods came also, the demigods were also being killed in large numbers. Indra came in front of him. Even Indra's thunderbolt weapon was not effective enough. And Indra became fearful. And Indra was on the point of losing his confidence. And he was thinking, my God, we are going to be defeated now. And Vritrasura smiled. And he saw Indra's bewilderment and his fear. And he began to preach to him. Here we have Vritrasura, who was supposed to be a demon. And there was Indra, the demigod, who was supposed to be a devotee. And we have the demon preaching to the devotee. Don't be afraid. Everything happens under the Lord's arrangement. Of course, we don't have time to discuss this beautiful dialogue that happened on the battlefield. Because Indra's weapon had fallen down. And Indra was helpless. And then Vritrasura started preaching to him. Don't worry. It's all part of the game of the material world. What's victory? What's defeat? What's good? What's bad in this world? Eventually, because of Vritrasura's own cooperation, Indra was able to kill Vritrasura. Had Vritrasura not cooperated, Indra would not have been able to do so. So, what was the result of that battle? Vritrasura died, and Indra was victorious in the battle. Now, actually looking at it from a worldly point of view, Indra was the victor. But from a spiritual point of view, Vritrasura was the victor. Because he was a pure devotee of the Lord, and he went back to Godhead. And Indra remained with his Apsaras and the Somaras in the heavenly planets, still worried about his position as a king of the heavenly planets. So even though Vritrasura was killed, it was Vritrasura who was victorious. The ultimate victory, therefore, is a victory over birth and death. When Vishwamitra Muni came to the court of King Dasharatha, Prabhupada says this many times in his lectures, Dasharatha Maharaj welcomed him, and then in the course of the welcome he said, so my dear sage, how is your struggle? Have you emerged victorious in your struggle against birth and death? Because this is real victory. In Vedic civilization, everybody understood that this was what real victory was all about. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Jayosmi, I am victory. So when there's victory, we can understand that that's Krishna there. He also makes another interesting statement, Nitihi asmi jigishatam, in the 10th chapter, which means, for those who are seeking victory, I am morality. So this is also a very important point. What is the essence of victory? It is morality. So without morality, that victory is not victory, it's defeat. One may apparently be victorious, but it's actually a defeat if there is no morality in it. And what is the supreme morality? Srila Prabhupada explains often that the supreme morality is brought out by the verse Sarva Dharman Parityajya Mamekam Sharanam Vraja Aham Tvam Sarva Papebhyo Mokshayishyami Ma Shuchaha. Abandon all varieties of dharmas and simply surrender unto me. I will protect you from all sinful reaction. Do not fear. So this process of taking exclusive shelter of Lord Krishna is the supreme morality. So this is therefore the essence of real victory in life. So here we can connect Krishna's statements in different parts of the Bhagavad Gita. He says the essence of victory is morality, and the supreme morality is surrendering to Krishna. So one who has sincerely surrendered to Krishna is supremely victorious. It's only a matter of time, that's all. So we may encounter apparent defeats, but the fact that we continue to struggle is our victory. So a devotee should never become despondent or demoralized. There will be ups and downs, as indeed that is the nature of this material world. But when we continue on struggling for the service of Krishna, then automatically victory is ensured. The very last verse of the Bhagavad Gita is also very instructive, and somehow it connects up to today's verse also. Yatra Yogeshwaraha Krishna, Yatra Partho Dhanurtharaha, Tatra Shri Vijayo Bhuti Dhruva Nitir Matir Mama. Sanjaya speaks and he declares that wherever there is a master of all mystics, Yogeshwara, that is Krishna, and wherever there is his dear devotee Arjuna who wields the Gandiva bow, four things will automatically exist there. Tatra, that is there, Shri, Shri represents opulence, Vijayaha represents victory, Bhuti represents extraordinary power, and Niti, morality. Dhruva, certainly these four will exist over there. And that is somewhat what Bali Maharaj is also saying here, basically, that fame, victory, defeat and death and so on, they come one after another. But for a devotee, victory, fame, morality, etc. are assured. So therefore, a devotee is absolutely fearless, because he or she is assured of Krishna's protection and of ultimate victory. Here, Srila Prabhupada also goes on to talk about Bali Maharaj's fearless spirit as a Kshatriya, because a Kshatriya is supposed to be tolerant in all circumstances. Elsewhere, Srila Prabhupada describes tolerance as not giving up one's duties even in the face of many, many bodily inconveniences. And on the battlefield, there are, of course, so many inconveniences that come to the body. Labha labho jaya jayo. So yes, there will be gain and there will be loss and there will be victory and there will be defeat. But samatvam yoga uchyate, one has to be equanimous in the pursuit of perfection in Krishna consciousness. One day we have a very great day in distributing books, and we distribute hundreds of books and we have such a good response from people. And another day it may be a bleak day. Nobody looks at us, nobody takes books from us, and we may get a little morose, but never mind. Sometimes we distribute many, sometimes we don't. Sometimes people listen to us, sometimes we can convince them, and sometimes we can't. It's the effort that's the important thing. Siddhya siddhyo samo bhutva samatvam yoga vachyate. Whether one is successful or unsuccessful, one should be equipoised, because one is doing it for Krishna. So this is our guiding principle. It is the effort that is a success. It is our motivation, it is our consciousness that makes us victorious, not the apparent result of victory or defeat. Hare Krishna. So we'll stop here for some discussions. Any questions or comments?